Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Paul has been writing to believers, to the Ephesian believers, to believers throughout the history of the world, that we have been changed, we have been made alive, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We are reminded of the fact that we are all born spiritually dead, that we are surrounded by people that are hostile to God and the gospel, that we're surrounded by people who are hostile to the church. We're surrounded by people who have no desire for salvation or for the things of God. We're also reminded that at one time, we were also in that state. But praise the Lord that he came to us and he called us to himself and he saved us by his grace. I want to today take a few moments to look at characteristics of those that are dead in trespasses and sins. First of all, in verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We see that you once walked. This way refers specifically to the readers who were predominantly Gentiles. In verse 3, you'll notice that he uses the word we. In that verse, he turns to his own people, the Jews. The language of these two verses tell us what we will learn about sinners is true of all human beings. Regardless of ethnic or religious background, Paul wants us to know that the whole world is trapped in darkness. Colossians 1:13 tells us this: he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Hallelujah. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You were in one kingdom. If you're a child of God, you were in one kingdom and you've been transferred into another kingdom. You're in the kingdom of the spiritually dead, and now you've been brought into the kingdom of those that are spiritually alive. This spiritual darkness spoken of in the Colossians causes those who are trapped in its power to be deceived by the allure of sin. Notice that the world has been deceived. It says in our text, go back to Ephesians, that you walked according to the course of this world. Several words in that phrase need to be examined if we're going to understand what Paul's trying to teach us. First of all, walked. To make one's way, to conduct one's life, to regulate one's life, to pass through one's life. It basically refers to the way a person lives their life. This is the way that you once walked. You walked according to the lust of the flesh. You once walked according to the course of this world, this period of time, this age. This is the word, course, that's translated ages and forever. In many other passages, it refers to an enormous amount of time. Basically, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, their whole life. You walked according to the course of this world. That world translates the word cosmos. That gives us the English word cosmetic and cosmopolitan. It does not speak of the earth, but of this world's system. You have to understand when you study the scripture, world has several meanings, and you must always, always know which word is being used when the word world is used, or you will go astray in some of your understanding of the scripture. This is speaking of the world system, the way the world operates, the harmony, the order, the arrangement of this world. In the beginning, it was used to refer to the orderly arrangement of the universe. It came to mean the order of things of which man is the center. See, the center. You are the center. You are the master of your fate. You are the captain. You are what this world is all about. The order of things which is alienated from God as manifested in and by the human race. In other words, that word world refers to the way people who do not know God live their lives. These words teach us the truth that the human race, apart from Christ, marches to the drumbeat of this world system. What Paul's telling us is that sinners, lost sinners in our culture, march in a long parade of sin that stretches all the way back to Adam. Sin goes all the way back to Adam. Titus 3:3 tells us this, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." That was our condition, and that's the condition of mankind apart from regeneration, apart from the new birth. Romans 3, verse 23 tells us this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's what we see in Ephesians 2, verse 2. We are all part of this long line of sin. The difference is, though, the child of God has been saved from the penalty of sin, and he's also been saved from the power of sin. Scripture tells us that sin should no longer reign in our lives. Sinner is a way of life. Ephesians is telling us that is the way of life in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the son of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. In the lust of our flesh. Sin is a way of life. Sinners are born into it and adopt its ways with no problem. You don't have to teach a child to be bad. You have to teach a child to be good. People are born sinners, born in sin. That's why we see people adopt the fashions, the fads, and the pleasures of the world. That is why we see sins that once repulsed us become tolerated more and more by the world. Homosexuality, lesbianism, premarital sex, adultery, pornography, drunkenness, drug abuse, etc., etc., etc. All these sins I just mentioned, they're all mainstream now. Things that were once hidden, they're not hidden no more. They're celebrated. As it says in Romans 1, not only do they commit such, Not only do they commit such sins, they give hearty approval to those that are part of the same sins as they are. And why? Why? Why has it become mainstream? Because it's the course of this world. It's the age of this world. It's the arrangement of this world, the orderly arrangement of this world. It has the idea that things have always been this way in our world. Sin and the sinners who sin have always been here, and they'll be here until the Lord judges this world. Things will not get better. They will only get worse. That's the problem with humanism. People think that humans are headed towards divinity, or even that they've arrived at it already. The world isn't getting better, it's getting worse. And why is that? Because sinners are deceived into believing that their way of life is the right way to live. But God says just the opposite. It's His way, not your way. The world is deceived by the steady, progressive march that the world is making. They have no desire to embrace righteousness and to walk in the ways of the Lord. The lost are deceived by the progression of the world. And that was our condition. And Paul wants us to know that, but that we're no longer in that condition. Also in Ephesians, it says about the prince of this world. You once walked according to the course of this world, the orderly arrangement of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. According to the prince. The course of this world is directed and dictated by Satan himself. He literally choreographs the thinking, the desires, and the lifestyles of the lost. And somehow in the West, we think that we're righteous, that we're living a righteous life, that we're the good guys, the West is the good, and the East is the bad. It's like, I hate to tell you, my friend, the whole world is bad. East, West, North, South, up, down, width, breadth, length, height, the whole shebang. Satan is directing, the prince of the power of the air. He directs the powers that be of this world. But the Lord overrules at any moment that he likes. The sinners around us act like they do because Satan is the one that energizes them. They walk the way they do because Satan blinds them to the way of God. That's part of the wrath of God abiding on people. Satan is able to blind the unregenerate person, the lost sinner. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That is the condition of mankind. The God of this age, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And there's the prince of this world, the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. And that's Satan himself. Horrible, horrible condition. You think that men and women and boys and girls are innocent somehow. It's like they're deceived. They're blinded by the prince of this world, blinded by Satan. And that's possible because men and women come in this world under the wrath of God. Somehow we're under the delusion that men and women and boys and girls are innocent or pretty good people. We are all born in this world under the wrath of God. And part of being under the wrath of God is that you are put under the power of the prince of the air. Let's go back to our text. It says, who work according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That word work has the idea of an ongoing work. Satan never lets up in his efforts to keep sinners committed to their sins. Sinners think they are living life on their own terms. I'm doing it my way. Like, no, not really. You think you're doing it your way, but you're doing it Satan's way. They like to think that what they're doing, they want to do. They think they're living to please themselves, and there is some truth to that, because all of our sins arise out of our own sinful natures. James 1:14-15. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, and when it is full grown, brings forth death. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That word conceived in that verse means to seize, to take one as a prisoner. You who would think that you're free, you're not free at all, you're a prisoner. When the lust that dwells within us by nature is energized by Satan and focused on sin, the result is slavery and bondage. You're a slave to sin and you don't even know it. You talk about deception. And the tragic thing is the end of that slavery and bondage is judgment and hell. So in other words, sinners are not merely doing as they please. They're basically puppets being manipulated by their father. And their father, the scripture says, is the devil. Somehow people think that we're all God's children. We're not all God's children. We're all created by God. But there's two classes of people. There's children of God. And look at John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. Do you find yourself a liar? Well, guess what? That's the trait of your daddy. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. A murderer from the beginning doesn't stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. It's accepted in the world today. Lying, no problem at all. You even hear the term white lies. That's you sanitize your sin. Lying is lying. There's no such thing as white lies and black lies and red lies. A lie is a lie. And it's an affront to Almighty God. And it says it's a Satan. Satan's influence in the lives of the lost is disobedience. It says in the text, it has the idea of stubbornness. They're stubborn. There's an obstinate opposition to the will of God. And saying, not our will be done, but your will be done, Lord. It's just the opposite. The law says, not your will, Lord, but my will. Me. I am God of my own life. In other words, the sin that works in the heart of the sinner causes them to be a rebel against everything that has to do with God. Lost people are saved, are deceived. They're thinking that they're good, and they're deceived. Sinners are deceived, and Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:3, don't get too puffed up, child of God, because the scripture says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We were by nature children of wrath. That is the condition of men and women, boys and girls, children of wrath. The next time you think about that child that's so sweet and innocent, well, by nature, they're children of wrath. Children of wrath. In the verse before us, we see that Paul speaks about the child of God. In these words, in our text today, he talks about human depravity. Some people recoil when they hear that phrase, depravity or total depravity. That statement simply means that people are in a depraved state. The word depraved means corrupt, wicked, perverted. And there can be no question that the word correctly describes the human condition. And total means every aspect of men and women's lives, some way, shape, or form. Total depravity doesn't mean that man is as wicked as he possibly can be. It means that all of his senses have been corrupted, have been perverted. All of the senses are in that condition. The will, the heart, that is our natural, because we're by nature children of wrath, and that's part of the curse. Realize this, when I'm talking about total depravity, I'm not implying that all men are as bad as they could be. But I'm implying that all people are sinners and are capable of committing the vilest of sins. Realize this, many times your hands just haven't carried out what's really in your heart. How many times have you wanted to have sex or lust some other person, be it man, woman, or even child? The thought was in your heart, your hands just didn't carry it out. How many times have you murdered in your heart, but your hand just haven't carried it out? How many wicked schemes and plans have come up in your mind, but you just haven't covered it out, carried it out? The Lord says that's still sin. Just because you didn't carry it out doesn't mean you're not guilty of it. Christ said, if you're angry with your brother, beware, you're in the same judgment of the one that is murdered. He said, if you lust in your heart after a person, it's the same as you did it. Total depravity. And when I say total depravity, it doesn't mean that people can't do good things, do good deeds. But it's done apart from bringing glory to God. So therefore, in the eyes of God, it's not good. It's maybe a good deed among men. And it also, the scripture teaches that your good deeds can never save you. Many people do good deeds because they think it's going to save them. They're going to earn them brownie points with God. The scripture is point blank about the condition of men. We are, once again, I'm going to remind you, by nature, children of wrath. Look at John 6:44. For all you seekers out there, that you think that there's such a thing, that teach, and especially preachers and teachers, for you that would think that there's seekers out there. Well, you need to read John 6:44 and John 6:65 once again. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see what that says? No one can come to me. This is Jesus Christ speaking. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. What is the implication there? The implication is the Father doesn't draw everybody there. Because if he drew everybody there, everybody would come. Unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. This phrase is speaking about the absolute of inability of men and women to come to God, to come to Christ. The absolute inability. Look in verse 65 of the same chapter. And he said, once again, Christ speaking, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. The gift has to be given. The gift, what gift, Bill? The gift of repentance and faith. Because you're by nature born into this world under the wrath of God, by nature a child of wrath, and until God Almighty grants you the gift of repentance and faith, you cannot come to Christ. So if you've never come to Christ, I would exhort you and admonish you and beg you, please come to Christ today. The scripture says today is the day of salvation. If you're hearing this message and you've never been saved, come to Christ. Perchance the Father is giving you that gift right now, and if he has, you will repent and you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out to him. Come to him. Whosoever will, come. Realize this, Philippians 2:15 calls this world a crooked and a perverse nation. That is our condition. We're crooked and we're perverse, apart from God. The fact is, people are getting worse. They're not getting better. The Enlightenment and humanism thinks that man is achieving. They're going up the ladder. They're evolving into a better human being. But look at Ephesians 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You see that? That word corrupt. Let me tell you what that verse refers to. That word corrupt. It refers to a corpse that is rotten and putrefying in the sun. That's the condition of men and women apart from God Almighty. If you're a child of God, the scripture says you're being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. If you're not a child of God, if you are still dead in your sin and your trespasses, that word that is used in that text there, it said it's like a corpse that's rotten and putrefying in the sun. What a horrible state to be in. But the gospel says the good news is repent and believe, and you shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever will come to Christ, and he will in no wise cast you out. Today is the day of salvation. Come. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Yeah, it's like, Bill, you told us some bad news. It's like, absolutely, but I'm telling you some great news. The physician has to first cut to remove the thing that's killing you. Or in this case, the scripture says you're dead already. But one of the beauties of new birth is that God takes out this old stony heart of ours, that old disposition that we have, and he gives us a new heart with new desires, and the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us and now gives us the power to obey the commands of Christ, and not only to obey them but want to obey them and love to obey them, and not as when we're in the world we try to get out of every single thing we possibly can. If you told your uncle go 55 on the highway when you're driving, you're going to go 56. Whatever you're told not to do, you just want to stretch it a little bit more. But when you become a child of God, you want to follow Christ and you want to follow his teachings. Paul is straight up in Ephesians. This is the condition of men and women. Don't be deceived. If you're lost, you're in bad shape. But the good news is your condition can be changed today. Your state can be changed today. Your eternity can be changed today. Just as the thief on one of the crosses that day that were crucified next to Christ. He said to Christ, the one thief that was being crucified, said to Christ, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Christ told him, today you will be in paradise with me. You want to know good news? As far as your eternal state is concerned, if you come to Christ today, you'll be with him in paradise for all eternity. And brothers and sisters, if you are saved, it's like you should be in a state of jubilation, of joy, no matter what season of life you're in, the good, the bad, or the ugly, the springtime, the summertime, the fall, or the wintertime. No matter what your circumstances are like, brothers and sisters, this should lift your soul to the heights of glory, knowing who you are in Christ, your identity in Christ, and what he has saved you from. What a glorious Savior that we have.